Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, this is Aiden. Quickly updating the show. I forgot to say this at the beginning. I'm hosting a League of Legends tournament on Saturday, June 24th from 4 to 9 p.m. EST. It's going to be a tournament where you can sign up solo, you can sign up duo, you can sign up with a full group. It's going to be a for-fun tournament, no prizes. The concept of the tournament is it's 5v5 on Summoner's Rift, where you get a random team. You're given five random characters. You have to make them work for your team comp. If you lose, you get five new characters, and if you win, you get the characters of the team that you just beat, and it's going to be a round-robin system, so the teams that are doing better, like going 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, will constantly get worse characters because they're playing the characters of the teams they beat, and the people, if you're not doing very well, you're going to constantly get a refresh of new characters that can hopefully like maybe fit your style a little bit better. If this sounds fun to you, the sign-up link will be up this Saturday, June 10th. And if you're a patron, it will be up probably on like either the 8th or the 9th. I'm still working out some details. Just wanted to like shout this out. The tournament's going to be June 24th from 4 p.m. EST to 9 p.m. EST. It's going to be pretty long. Make sure you're available for the entire thing. I am going to cap it once again, at gold 1. So if you're I'll even say plat 4. If you're a plat 3 or above player, you can still sign up, but you're going to sign up as a fill player, meaning if someone drops out, you can fill up to like, if you're a master grandmaster player and you want to play, just sign up as a fill, just hang around on the 24th, and if someone drops out, we'll be sure to get you in. Otherwise, if you're interested, please sign up. I think it's going to be fun, not super serious. Hopefully you guys can have some fun. Bye. Hello and welcome to episode 591 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Aiden Frost Rockarts, and joining me is Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Taking your time, it's almost like there's only two of us. You had to really stretch out that intro.
Yeah. Also, hey, sorry if there is any background noise. I don't think there will be, but they're fucking dripping up all the concrete outside of my house.
It's funny, there's like a storm by me, so you might hear some thunder at some point in the episode. We might get a little bit of unintentional ambiance for this show. Without further ado, we'll do a quick rundown of what we're going to cover today. We've got a very little bit of LeagueCast news. We're going to hear from our friends at Nord. We've got a couple little kind of small discussions in our guaranteed guffaws. One five-starry. We're going to have a brief discussion about competitive league and the Challenger Series stuff going on. And then we've got roundtable and mail fight. And then finally, we will end the show by reading our full patron list since it's the first show of the month. And we will start, though, by reading our new patron, which we do every time. Shark is suffering. Thank you for joining the G2 army becoming a patron.
Hell yeah. Shark rejoined our Discord like channel, like our patron thing, and he's like, damn, I let my sub last. I missed all the pet pictures.
Oh yeah, for those who don't know, for just $1 a month, you can get into the Patreon channel and the Discord, and that's where we just randomly post all the pet pics.
It's funny, there's like zero discussions, only just pet pictures.
It would feel like really bad, and we talked about this, to like gate actual content behind that stuff. So we like built the channel, and some listener I think just started like posting pet pics, and that became the purpose of the channel.
Yeah.
So how was your week? What have you been up to? I guess a couple weeks.
Yeah, not a lot. I literally just started playing League again today. I played a couple games just to like see how I'm feeling, try to get warm back up, also see what my gains are, because both my accounts decayed on a master tier. So I have some games to play. I played like two on my Smurf and then two on my main, and I think I won one on each. So I know my gains and losses on my accounts now. I lose 20 on both my accounts, and I gain 35 and 38.
Wow, it seems like it really easy to climb when you only need to maintain like a 36% win rate.
Yeah, it's like fucked. It's like I go 5-5 and I'm up plus 75 points or something. That being said, I posted a screenshot in our like one flex channel with our friends and stuff, and that I posted the lobby. The lowest ranked player other than me was 100 points master, and then the highest, like, there's two fucking GM 800 point players in that game, and then everyone else was like 300 points master. Like, I'm just playing 300 point master games. Like,
yeah. Ugh, that's what happens when you just inflate your MMR every fucking season by playing and dodging series and letting yourself decay.
Yeah, it is nice to play with like positive gains though. Like, I don't think people have the time to do it, but like in theory, if like the gains actually like make you so sad about playing ranked, you could just like sit in a series and do like dodge series until your gains are good. Like, any player could do that, right?
Yeah. I think that like most people though are just worried that, like, let's say I was in my master series and I dodged it, that I would end up like in D3 shortly afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. It's the value of ranked versus gains, right? Like your actual rank versus the gains. But outside of that, not too much. I'm going to do some community games, definitely on Thursday. I'm thinking about also doing an extra one tomorrow night, because I didn't do them the past 2 weeks.
Whoa.
We actually had people like just Loki in our Discord the last 2 weeks, because I haven't been doing them, has just been putting together like custom games to like play fun stuff or play like five mans and stuff like that. So it's been really, really nice seeing people like still congregate even though I'm not there.
Yeah. I had mentioned to Nick, I don't know if you like listened to last week's show.
I did, yeah.
Okay, it would be so fun to be able to play a custom game mode where it's just five Nikos and one person trying to find them.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, did you see the, some people were doing it in custom games where, what was it? So you have a team on the team of five people, then one person's a Niko on the other team, and I guess it's five people on your team, and you set up a bunch of wards and shit, like a bunch of stuff in one area, and they have to guess which one's the Niko, and if they hit the wrong thing, your team just kills them. But either way, I think there's tons of like fun stuff they Riot should do with custom games, but I don't think they ever will. How was your week though?
Yeah. My week was good, very, very busy. So I flew up to Chicago this weekend to hang out with a bunch of friends. We did like a little backyard camping weekend. So got outside, went to the beach. We did a little bit of kayaking, played some volleyball, hung out, had like a bonfire and just chatted for a while. So very good time, lots of good people, got to pet a bunch of dogs, always a plus when you're hanging out with friends if people are bringing their dogs.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, Nick was also in Chicago, so he had his birthday downtown. We went to a little barcade, played a bunch of games, played some pool, some skee ball, ate some pizza, had a really good time. And then I flew back early this morning and I'm here. So not really very much league, outside of, I think I played some games Thursday, Friday. I'm very close to being D1 in every ranked queue. But if I do that, I feel like I have to then try and push for master in every ranked queue.
Yeah.
But it is just fun, like going to my profile and hovering it and just seeing like five diamond icons side by side.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I remember like taking a screenshot in like 2017, and it was like me being D1 in like 3v3, 5v5, and then like solo queue. And I was like, damn, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to try and play a little bit more double up with Quinn. He played a game without me, so he promoted to master, and I'm only at 73 LP because he's a little cringer. And
did he play with someone, or is it actually like not that hard to like play by yourself for double up?
I don't know if he played with somebody. I mean, you definitely can play with like without like knowing the person, because especially at that level, they'll be able to just like see what you're building and be like, oh, you have, you know, like a 2-star Kai'Sa on the board and you have 3 on your bench. I can probably just send you a Kaisa.
Yeah.
And especially because, like, you don't send items anymore. Like, again, it's more ideal to be queued with somebody, but it's definitely playable. I don't know which one he did. But yeah, that's about it for me. I don't think I played any solo queue. I don't know. I might just let myself, like, sit at D1, because I feel like if I try and play a bunch, I haven't been playing, and I'm just gonna, like, shoot down a fucking D4.
Yeah, that's it. It takes a while to warm up, man. Like, when you don't play, I didn't play for 2 months, right? My first game today was, like, I couldn't, like, not that I can CS usually, but, like, I just couldn't click minions properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been playing a couple here and there to not get super rusty, and I've been playing, like I played a bunch of MF during that, like, little window, so I think mechanically I'm okay. I just don't know if it, maybe I try for master, and if I go down to 0 points, I stop.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But yeah, that's about it for me. So I guess we want to head into LeagueCast news.
Yeah. Also, it is Nick's birthday tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on June 7th, please wish Nick a happy birthday.
Yeah, and also add him as a friend on League and purchase skins for Nick Cooper.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's all he wants for his birthday is for our listeners to use money to give to Riot Games.
Buy him Milio. cool. Yeah, we can hop into the first thing, which is the mid lane challenge, right?
Yeah, I don't actually remember who I picked, and I have no idea who I ended up getting, so I'm interested to find out what my pool is.
Yeah, so just for those who don't know, Nick, Colton, and I are doing a challenge next split. So starting July 19th, I think, is the next rank season start. We're going to be playing mid lane and seeing who can climb the highest. We have a pool of selected characters. It is Akshon, Vladimir, Anivia, Lissandra, Malzahar, Rumble, Aurelion, Sol. Oh, I'm sure I should have wrote these down. Diana, and then there's one more. either way, it's like 9 selected characters that we can all play for. On each day, we can also play the highest win rate character of the day. So kind of like if we want to buy, like, Nico, for example, is the highest win rate mid laner in the game right now, we could play her. And then last but not least, we're all having one unique character that is selected by you guys through a poll from our Discord. We have the final results in, though. So let's figure out what we're all going to play as our characters. So Nick is the easiest one. He got Yasuo. I mean, he fucking, dude, it won with like 20% of the vote. I don't know where the fucking Yasuo collective is coming in, but
it's such a Nick character to play, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I know I talked to him, and I think he would have rather gotten Yone, but I was like, it's absolutely going to be one of the two.
It is funny that Yone got like 4 votes in like the last couple days, like since like last podcast, because you guys obviously talked about it. But not enough. You got Azir only by 1 vote over Gragas. So Azir is going to be your character that you get to play.
Ooh, hell yeah. You're going to just constantly hear me shouting Shurima in the Discord.
And then I got Cho'Gath with 1 vote over Pantheon and Ryze. So, I have fucking season 1 ass character.
Yeah, but like it's so on brand for you that they picked like fucking ultra easy characters that you're just gonna make work.
I mean, Ryze would have been hard, but like yeah, if I got Pantheon, it would have been the same thing. Like just fucking clear mid, fucking roam bottom.
Yeah, I was talking to Nick about the challenge at his birthday party, and I'm like, I feel like there's a decent chance that just because of the way I fucking play this game and how wildly inconsistent I am, like there's a chance that I hit like my highest rank ever in this challenge.
Yeah.
Especially if I actually like ultra one trick like one of those from the pool.
Yeah, have you been thinking about switching any? Because I also think, like, if we wanted, we could, like, switch any of them before it starts, sort of thing. Well, obviously, we'll do the thing where, like, 2 weeks in or 4 weeks in, we can, like, always, like, add one or whatever. But, like, the only thing I'm thinking about right now is they're reworking Rumble, like, a lot. So I don't even know if he's going to be a mid laner by that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen any of the changes right now?
No.
They're changing him so he has 150, like, maximum heat. Like, they're changing, like, a bunch of shit.
Interesting.
But we'll see.
I guess for me, at this point, I'm not super thinking about changing anything. It's just that there's a decent chance. I tried to pick characters that I really haven't played. And I might just like end up not enjoying them. Where it's like Silas is one where I like, I think I will like him, but there's a chance that I'll just be like, no, fuck this. I'm not going to play any Silas.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Hell yeah. Do you want to talk about the one trick stuff before we hop into our ad read? Just to even out the show a little bit. So this comes from me reading too much Twitter. So do you know what Azap is?
It sounds familiar.
He's
but
a
I don't.
Velka, like a challenger master Velka's one trick. Yeah. Either way, he's been going on a bit of a tear on Twitter, where pretty well just saying like Velka's is just fucking unplayable. This character's garbage, designed like shit. Like he's not playable support or mid, yada yada yada, right? And I understand, like, he's a mage, like a pretty early developed mage character in this season where there's tons of mobility, right? But I look at stuff like this, and I mean, I'm sure it does feel like shit to play that character. That being said, I don't think he's that bad, and it's kind of like stirring this whole like debate in my head where one tricks are fucking babies, and myself included in this, man. Like, like for example, Velka's is like a 49% win rate character. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think he's like fucking dated, right? Like, if you play Velka's into fucking any new age mid laner, you're probably just gonna fucking, they're just jumping all around you, whatever. It's not like he's bad though, right? So like my whole thing is I see him like tweet on this, he tweets out like all of his losses, says he's unplayable, thinking about switching to other characters, yada yada yada. And I go, fuck, I've seen every single one trick in the world do this with their character. It doesn't matter how strong your character is, it doesn't matter how weak their character is. People will just complain when you play the same thing in a row, like a bunch, right? I've complained a billion times about Tahm Kench. I've seen fucking every single Renekton main in the world say their character's trash. Like, it's nonstop.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of this is that it's like so easy to look and like say, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, but one tricks never actually go find out that it's not.
Yeah.
Right, because like that's I've mained like a lot of characters over the year, and I don't think I've like ever been in a position where I'm like, man, like this character's absolutely unplayable. I can't believe they're not buffing Misfortune again. I'm so mad. It's like, just fucking play something else, and you're gonna realize that every character is just as good and just as shit. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, the biggest thing is if you're R1 trick, like you sign yourself up for like the goods and the bads of a character, right? Like you sign yourself up when the character's weak. You sign yourself up for bad matchups. Like being a one trick and complaining about counter picks, for example, like other than like just like obviously it's fun to joke about stuff like that. But if you actually think like your character's bad because like they get counter picked, well, you kind of chose to do that because you're a one trick, right? My whole thing though is like I just think that it's you got to take a step back, right? And I do think that one tricks are the best way to learn characters and the best way to get an idea how strong characters are. You know what's the only thing better though is watching a fucking good player play a character. Like if like say Nemesis, like the old like he's like top challenger EU, top challenger Korea, whatever, right? Like if he picks up your Velka's, let's just say Nemesis starts learning Velka's and plays like 50 games of it and then gives his impression, I think that's the only thing more pure than hearing a one tricks opinion of something, right? Like I said this a ton of times, like earlier in the season where I was looking up Shen challenger or Shen one tricks, right? And every single fucking Shen one trick in the world, man, they hit like 5 CS a minute every game, and like they have high win rates, right? And I'm like, fuck, why? But is it actually optimal to hit 5 CS a minute on Shen and just like actually be playing for your team that much? And then I finally found a player who isn't a Shen one trick, is just a challenger player who also plays Shen, and guess what, he hits 8.5 CS a minute like every single game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I think that's something that a lot of people, and especially like with the like implementation of like League of Graphs and all those other sites that like rate you on a character, where they're like, oh, I'm the number one Tahm Kench in the world, let's say, right? Like I think at one point you were the number one Tahm Kench in NA.
Yeah,
like
a couple months back,
Right, where it's like, okay, it's great that you're the number one Tahm Kench in NA, but there are at least 24 people who are better top laners that you on that like better than you, and they don't need to know Tahm Kench at all to still be a better player, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like I could be the best fucking Zilean in the world. Faker is a better Zilean player than me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like it just doesn't matter, and I think that that's something that people like overly rely on one tricks for that, because it's just like, unless the one trick is like top 50 on their server, I would want to also look at people playing that character who are just the best players on that server, or like in the world at the time.
100%. I feel like it's just like, you have to use your like data and like people around you in like the proper ways, right? Like, just because someone's the plays 100 or 1,000 games of a character and is really good at it doesn't mean they're actually the best at it, right? Like, right now, the top Tom Kench in North America is this guy named Insane Blast. And he runs Heartsteel on him every single game, right? He runs Heartsteel and Flash, which I think every other Tom Kench one trick that I know of thinks Ghost is better 100% of the time in the character, and thinks Heartsteel might be his worst mythic in the game. But this guy's like fucking crazy at it. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It just feels like sometimes you get in your own head and you start like drinking this fucking communal Kool-Aid of like the way to play stuff and what's strong and what's bad. Especially if you are in those niches, right? Say if you're like a gold plat, or even myself, let's just say, you're a player who knows a couple one tricks. Like I watch Whatley and I watch Gogex. They're both like EU West Grandmaster, Master Tom Kench players. If I watch too much of their stuff, I learn a lot. That's good. But I'm also completely only like thinking about the game through their lens rather than like my own, right? Like, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, rather than just being open to like other shit.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that is where I think that, again, much more of that generalized approach is better, because you get used to like being able to accept and try out other things. And like, I a lot of times will compare, right? Like, if I want to start playing a character, it's like, I'm going to look up their, on average, like, best build, best runes, masteries, and stuff. And then I'll look at, like, the pro builds, but I'll also look at one tricks. And I think there's a lot of interesting, like, thoughts to be had when you're analyzing those things, to say, okay, like, this is the most popular thing, this is what the pros are doing, but, like, 3 out of 4 people one-tricking this character at a high level aren't going that route. Mm-hmm. Is this route actually better? Is it more efficient? Is it because they're playing the character entirely differently? Like, those are things to think about. And I think, especially when it comes to one tricks, but I think it applies generally to all of League, like, playing your style matters a lot, and it's going to be more effective than trying to copy everyone else. Right? Like, when I was playing a lot of Misfortune and seeing a lot of success last season, like, the crit build was just statistically way better, but I'm not a good AD carry player. I don't micro that well. I don't last hit that well. I don't lane that well. So I played this like weird lethality hybrid first strike nonsense build where I could die 10 times a game, sacking myself for farm and for plates and for pressure, because that worked for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, something that a lot of those one tricks also do, is like, I'm playing the character how I want to in my style. And so if you try and pick that up, you probably need to know how to do that style, or you might not see the same success.
Yeah, completely. I just think it's one of those things where, like, a lot of our listeners, I think, like, follow one tricks. And I think it's like, I think we pretty often champion, like, it's the best way to like learn, but just not to get too caught up in it is kind of like the main thing. Cause like, I mean, at least Azap, the guy who we were talking about at the beginning, the Vel'Koz guy, he started like playing other mids like recently, like learning other mids, and he's doing well. So that's at least good. I think it's at least good to see like the other side. You know what I mean? It's not just good to complain, then stick to just stay complaining. I mean, I guess if you can do that if you want, but you're not going to get anywhere, right? Just like constantly bitching and moaning without actually trying to make progress. Just think about your own game, or like, change shit, right? It's so easy.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to hop into our ad read?
Yeah. So once again, we are sponsored by NordVPN. They've got a new campaign that they're running, which is going to be available to our listeners at the same link as always, nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Any purchase of a 2-year plan will receive a bonus month on top. As well as, I believe, a discount.
Yeah.
Just making sure I'm reading the copy. Again, that's at nordvpn.com/leaguecast. You'll get that bonus month on top of a 2-year plan and the discount. If you're not familiar, NordVPN offers you the ability to encrypt your web traffic, hide your IP and physical location. You can connect to their servers all over the country and in a bunch of other countries if you want to get around, you know, geo blockers on certain platforms and watch content that's only available in certain countries. If there are streaming platforms that are trying to tell you that you can't share an account, you can maybe use a VPN to get around that a little bit. But I don't think that's I don't know. It's great. NordVPN is a really good service, and it's available to our listeners one more time at nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Again, you're going to get that bonus month on top of a 2-year plan and that fatty discount. Thanks so much to Nord.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I guess we'll hop into the NACL stuff a little bit. I'm sure you've heard a little bit about it, but maybe not like the full story.
I have a decent amount, and I was like trying to explain it to Alex Whitehair, former host and friend of the show, this weekend when we were all hanging out. So go ahead and fill me in, and I'll find out how well I did in explaining what's going on.
Yeah, and once again, I obviously, like, this has been going on for about a month now of like random shit. So if I miss anything, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna try to recap to the best of my ability. So the gist of it is that for those who know, LCS is obviously the NA League of Legends scene, the 10 teams, franchise teams, yada, yada, yada. Last year, they changed the academy system to incorporate also the amateur system. So it went from being 10 teams all owned by LCS org, so like Cloud9 had a team, FlyQuest had a team, whatever, to all 10 teams had a team, but then there's also six like kind of amateur orgs, like Wildcard Gaming, AOE, I think, was in there. A couple other things, right? A couple other non-LCS orgs had these academy teams in this NACL system. Talks were going on about between the NACL and Riot, and the biggest discussion that was coming up was the team owners did not want to pay for these NACL academy teams anymore because they were costing them a lot of money. So there's tons of like talks about that. Riot was going back and forth with them about it. And then the last thing that the NACL heard, and the Players Association, which is an organization in LCS to benefit the players, it's not a union, it's just an organization, it's an association. The last thing they heard was that, hey, the teams do want to move out of Academy, but this won't happen until 2024. And then randomly it got leaked that all 10 LCS owners voted on removing the requirement to field an NACL team, and it was passed. And then in the next like week or so, 7 out of the 10 LCS teams, with the exception of Team Liquid, FlyQuest, and EG, dropped their academy teams. So we saw like 75 people out of jobs overnight, kind of randomly. And then this kind of led to the Players Association taking all the LCS players and all of the NACL or former NACL players under their wing and kind of forming a strike to kind of go against, like, hey, we think that this is going to kill the overall health of the North American scene. If we don't have this Academy League, how are people who want to get into League of Legends ever going to come up? They have no clear pathway. You're not going to develop NA talent. You're just going to continue to import and kind of kill the scene, yada, 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 which are, I think, all valid concerns. What happened next, though, is that because these seven teams dropped their things, the Players Association got on call with all 50 players from the LCS, and an overwhelming majority of them voted to strike and to walk out on the LCS start date, which was last Thursday, June 1st. So Riot then came out and canceled LCS start. They said, hey, we've heard these murmurings that no one's going to show up to this. Teams aren't going to field rosters. Riot did everything in their power, by the way, to try to make it so teams had to field rosters. They pretty well reached out to all the teams. They said, hey, if you guys don't field rosters, we're going to fine you. And then obviously the teams are, if your five players don't work, won't play, then what the fuck are you going to do when you have a 3-day turnaround to field five players? Well, what you'd normally do, Colton, is you'd go to your academy talent and then tell them to play for you, right? You'd say, hey, our main roster doesn't want to play. We'll field our academy talent. Well, what the issue is that we just fired 75 fucking players the week prior, right? So obviously mm-hmm. none of them want to play. Led into this whole thing where like no one wants to play because A, you kind of just got fucked over. They're literally playing around with your future here. And then B, no one wants to scab either, right? No one who it wasn't an Academy player, isn't an LCS player, is just some random solo queue player is going to want to play, because that's going to ruin your futures if you ever want to be an LCS, because you're the guy who fucking undercut everyone else who's trying to stand up for something. So this kind of led into the fact that, I guess the only other part of this is Riot also then removed the ranked restrictions for play. So like before you had to be D2 plus to play in LCS, they removed that in hopes that like teams could field like rosters. So they get like obviously like their streamers like fucking, I guess like I Will Dominate used to be a streamer for Cloud9. For example, like he would play for Cloud9 as their jungler, right? Would be like the idea if he was still signed to them. Obviously, the teams couldn't field enough. Riot's not going to find fucking all 10 teams trying to field a roster. So Riot put out a big statement pretty well saying, hey, we're going to cancel the first 2 weeks of LCS while we talk with the Players Association and the players. We are hoping to start on June 22nd. So not next week, but the week after. June 15th is the start date. Hoping to work something out with the players. And then they went through every single LCS Players Association asks and pretty well shot down every single one of them. I think the ask from the Players Association, I can quickly go through them like a little bit. They were pretty fucking unreasonable. I'm very much for like standing up for what you're worth and fighting for your future and stuff like that. I do think there is a bit of disconnect here where it's all the LCS players standing up for the NACL, which is an interesting thing. But the biggest LCSPA proposal was allow teams to pay NACL players based on local minimum wages instead of California labor minimums, allow teams to partner with affiliate organizations to operate the NACL rosters, introduce a robust in-game system program for LCS teams that mirrors the generous revenue sharing programs in Valorant, introduce meaningful incentives like promotion or relegation. So pretty well they wanted the futures of NACL to be kind of partially funded by Riot. They also wanted guaranteed revenue sharing. They also wanted a Valorant like promotion relegation system. So LCS right now is obviously franchised, meaning all 10 teams paid $10 million plus to get into LCS. Versus the Valorant system, by the way, all 10 partner teams didn't pay anything to get into it. So it's a little bit different there. But in the Valorant system, there's also another couple slots that are open to like tier 2 teams getting in and out. So the 10 partner teams can never demote, but tier 2 teams can still promote into these like extra slots is the idea. So they wanted something like that. Riot pretty well axed down every single one of these, said, no, all this is ridiculous. Not obviously in like a very much professional tone. Like we can't do the Valorant partner program because all these teams paid in $10 million plus for their spots. Therefore, introducing teams like getting through the system would be devaluing their spots, yada, yada, yada. Would recommend reading the PA's request and then Riot's response to them. But the gist of it is they shot everything down. And then the biggest slap in the face on all this was at the end of their thing, they said, hey, we're sad that we have to cancel the LCS for 2 weeks. We are going to postpone it 2 weeks, but we hope that we can come to an agreement, because if we can't by the end of the 2 weeks, we'll have to cancel the LCS summer split and then not like have no LCS representatives going to Worlds, because there's no way to run a fair and organized tournament in this amount of time. So this is where we're at, because I think the reality is they probably could run it, but the whole thing is they're playing their hands of, yes, LCS players are striking for the good of the scene, which is awesome. I think it's fucking great. They're striking for their fellow man, because obviously NACL players don't have a voice. Where this becomes interesting though, is that they're not striking for their own direct benefit, right? So how far can you be pushed, right? Obviously none of them are being paid right now because they're all refusing work. So that's one thing. If you're an import player, you're literally not being paid, right? Which is probably a huge reason why you're being imported in NA to play. That's one thing.
You're not being paid, and you're also like risking your visa.
That's a huge thing. Apparently all the teams, obviously your organization that's hired you is not going to continue working on your visa, your work permit, your visa, your permanent residence, whatever, if you're not paying in their team, right? It's like if you went to work, if a team was paying for you to like, or any workplace was paying for you to come to a different country and work there, if you just stop working, they wouldn't keep working on your fucking work visas and shit, right? And then the last thing, which I think is the biggest thing, is how many players in LCS are willing to give up the chance to go to Worlds to strike for the future of the NACL? And that's where I think we're going to have issues, right? I'm surprised that they got an overwhelming majority. Apparently, they got, like, say, 45 out of 50 votes for the strike. How many import players are going to vote no if they try to vote for another strike because they want to go to Worlds, right? That's the future of most players, right? Like, that's why you fucking play this game. And then the fucking funniest thing came out, like, this past week. Did you see any of the Doublelift drama about this?
No, I've not.
So they're ongoing negotiations, right? Literally, like, the head of the PA canceled interviews with the Wall Street Journal because negotiations were going well with Riot, right? Like, everything's starting to turn, like, everything was starting to go well. Doublelift then went on a stream, like, 2 days ago, and he pretty well said, hey, like, I'm really glad that we're, like, doing this, and, like, I think the Tier 2 leagues are really important to the health of and the future of the LCS, but, like, I'm going to play it. I want to go to Worlds. Like, I would much rather play than Strike, because I want to go to Worlds, and that matters the most to me, right? And it's like, oh, no. The face, like, the person with probably the biggest pull in all of fucking NA says he's not willing to strike because he wants to go to Worlds, which is fucking crazy, by the way. So everyone, like, obviously he's fucking jokes. I don't think he's the smartest guy in the world when he says shit like that. And then the next day he comes on stream and he goes, I have no idea why everyone's so mad at me for saying that. Like, the head of the Players Association, Philip, he messaged me, like, right after. He said, thanks for the video, Doublelift. Which obviously is fucking sarcastic. You just fuck their negotiations.
Yeah, you're taking away so much of your power by, like, saying that and giving that, right? Like, it's tough. Yeah, I don't see them getting much of any that they asked for, unfortunately, because, again, I don't think they actually have that much power. And I think part of the problem with this whole thing is, like, again, because they're fighting for, like, the development through the NACL and, like, right, that talent development pipeline for NA. And I know somebody was saying these points, and I felt like I very much agreed with them. Part of the issue there is that pipeline is kind of already a joke.
Yeah.
Right, like, NA talent doesn't really exist on an international scene. Like, if all of these NA players strike, and, like, all of our current LCS rosters and all of the people in the NACL rosters are just gone from the scene, that doesn't affect how we place at Worlds, because we're going to go out in groups regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right? And so then, like, then if they hire, like, you know, 100 new GM players out of NA to, like, replace the whole LCS, it's like, okay, cool. We're going to go back to having a semi-competitive regional league that just flops internationally.
Yeah. It's just this weird thing where, like, I mean, the reality is, like, I'm happy for the players to do this. I think it's good practice to fight for your rights and all that stuff. The reality is I also don't fucking blame the orgs that much either, right? Like, the issue is the NACL was not very sustainable due to the, like, I mean, partially due to the orgs. Like, the reality is orgs fucking paid players way too much, which then fucking boasted all salaries, including NACL salaries. Some fucking NACL, like, there was apparently one NACL player who's being paid, like, $400,000 a year, which is fucking crazy.
That's insane. Like,
and apparently the average cost of, like, an NACL roster was, like, in the 600,000-ish
They area. Should be paying those people, like, 40K a year.
Yeah, and, like, that's the whole thing is, like, so they have to be paid California minimum, which is 60,000, which already is, like, that's a lot of money for, like, a developmental roster, which probably...
That's like, yeah, that's good money, and, like, if they are, I don't know what the structure looks like, but, like, if they're living in, like, the team house and getting their, like, housing and food needs covered, like, 60 grand a year is good money.
Yeah, most of them are. Like, they removed the requirement to be in California, but they still have to be paid minimum. So when they removed the requirement, some teams did, like, stop paying for housing, but they can live wherever, which I think is, like, pros and cons to that. The biggest thing, though, to me is, like, so I think it was Team Liquid and Cloud9 both released the cost of their NACL rosters, and they were, like, in the 900,000-ish, like, ballpark. And once again, I think that these teams probably should, to some degree, prioritize the health and future of the NA, like the scene, by like saying, hey, we should field an NACL roster. Maybe we're not going to pay that much money, but we'll like reduce costs and make sure the health of whatever, yada, 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 yada. But the issue is when you are presented with an option of, if I say yes to this, I can cut my LCS, my League of Legends expenses by $1 million a year. It's a hard time to say no, man.
It is. I just, like, I feel like the root of this issue has to do with, like, how much they're spending on it. Because, like, there are so many, like, if we call LCS, like, the A-League and NACL the B-League, like, there's so many, like, C-League tournaments and teams that are full of, like, GM and Challenger players that are, like, scrimming twice a week, like, VOD reviewing once a week, playing in their league games, like, once a week, right? Like, they're committing probably, like, 16 to 20 hours a week. And those people are playing for, like, $4,000 prize pools.
Yeah.
And on no salary. Like, there's such an overvaluation, I think, of players. I think at the LCS level, and especially at the NACL level, I think they definitely need to, like, lower that, because you could get, right, like, five solid multi-year challenger players that, like, maybe, like, have good potential, and, like, they would be willing to do it for so much less, or at least in my experience, like, playing on, like, Masters teams and, like, knowing, like, the GM team or the Challenger team, like, these people want to play League, they want to play competitive, like, they will do it, and you don't need to be paying them a ton.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing from Thorin made a video about, like, kind of the economics of, like, LCS and stuff, and one thing I wanted to point out, I'd recommend listening to the video if you're interested at all in, like, the health of, like, LCS or whatever. The one stat that he said is that since franchising, which is 2018, right, LCS teams have paid out $170 million in salaries to players and coaches. So $170 million over 5 years. And the total revenue since franchising is $80 million. Revenue, not profit.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucked? It's unbelievable, right?
Like, they're paying people way too much in a system that is not profitable. And, right, like, obviously you're going to have to start cutting expenses if you're paying your employees twice your revenue, because then you're just a money sink. But, like, that's definitely, like, a bigger picture issue that they need to probably look at. And I think that a lot of those teams, again, like, if there was some level of revenue sharing with the teams, mm-hmm. in LCS, right? Because, like, League of Legends is fucking profitable as hell. Yeah. Right? Like, if at the beginning of the LCS they made a Cloud9 ward skin and a Liquid ward skin and, like, a fucking, you know, team emote that you can put on your emote bar, and those things cost, like, $5, and the profit on that went 50-50 between fucking League of Legends and the team, those numbers would be a lot closer together. They wouldn't meet. It's not a $90 million gap there, but, like,
yeah. I mean, that's where the whole discussion about, like, the economics of, like, League in the future and stuff are coming in. Tons of teams are asking for, like, having more
monetization options.
Yeah, that's a way easier way of putting it. Here's the issue. Riot doesn't want to let them into that fucking cash cow, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like, as much as Riot can obscure it, like, the better, right? Like, the whole. If you think of League of Legends, I think it's pretty safe to think of esports as a marketing arm of League of Legends, right? Where if mm-hmm. Faker's a bad example because he doesn't use skins, but say, like, Ruler uses the new Jhin skin, right? How many people, after seeing Ruler use the new Jhin skin at Worlds, then go buy the new Jhin skin? There is a number, yeah, right? Or, like, I don't know what that number is. Riot knows what that number is. No teams will ever know what that number is.
Yeah, and, like, there's also just, like, how many people will watch Worlds and go back to playing League of Legends once a week instead of playing once every other month?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like, there's tons of discussions on Twitter right now about, like, how do we monetize like League then? Would you be okay if like, I mean, fucking think of old LCK. You used to watch old OGN. I feel like we both like used to watch a lot of OGN, mm-hmm. where like on their Twitch stream, you could get it in 720p was like the default. But if you subscribed, you got it in 1080p, right? And I feel like there's tons of ways that fucking Riot can start monetizing LCS like that, where you have your normal 720p stream or even 1080p stream, but if you pay your $5 a month or whatever, you get access to, I know they had ProView before and it didn't really work out, but you have access to like extra data, you have access to whatever, right? Like you have all these other options where I wouldn't mind paying $5 a month. I mean, if your audience actually is like 20 something year old, they actually do have a disposable income, right? Or like, I don't know. I just feel like you need more ways to monetize the leagues in a pay-per-view like platform, not like full pay-per-view. I do think you need free options for stuff. I don't think League's there yet. But
yeah, you couldn't put Worlds behind like a $10 paywall.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I understand like, I don't know, it just feels like, or like I saw one thing. It's like you pay $5 a month, you get like the higher bitrate stream. You get access to like ProView or whatever. And then you also get access to make the drops behind paywall. Like, you know, when like Riot does drops on like Lolly Sports or Twitch or whatever, mm-hmm. for like, make it so that if you're paying your $10 a month or whatever, you get access to like more often skin drops, like for like watching Lolly Sports content. Like there's just ways that they can monetize it.
Yeah, and they also do like, they have like missions for watching LCS, like where you get like event XP basically. Do those too, right? Mm-hmm. Like I want to purchase the NALCS like event pass and I get, yeah, my like the those are all of the bonuses that you mentioned, you know, that come in that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just sad. I just think I'm just a little bit worried for like overall with LCS. I don't think this strike is the most gracefully done thing I've ever seen. I just feel like the power is completely out of whack for it, is like the reality. I don't think the players have nearly enough pull to get anything of what they're asking for. It's this weird thing where usually when there's negotiations, there's also two parties, right? You have like the players and Riot, or the players and the org, but it's the players, orgs, and Riot. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, Riot and orgs are definitely more on the same side, so it's even like more of a throw of power. So I don't know, it's a whole weird thing, man.
Yeah, yes. I mean, like, it's there's that three parties at play, but I think also generally, right, in a strike and like a union situation, the biggest driving factor that the strike has is that while it's happening, the company or like the employer or the industry is losing money or is not able to continue like creating revenue. And that's just not really the case with LCS.
Riot is like losing money by...
If any else... Go ahead.
I was going to say Riot is losing money by not having like their sponsor obligations for LCS, but not nearly like to the degree that like teams are hemorrhaging money or players are not getting salaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like if any LCS died tomorrow, like if this strike just went catastrophic, everything blew up, there's no NA scene anymore, like Riot Games is still making millions on millions on millions of fucking dollars and they're fine.
Yeah.
Whereas for sure. Like, you know, for like a more traditional like labor strike, like I don't know, if the fucking plumbers union gets together and they're not fixing anything, like one, you know, there's going to be fucking burst pipes and shit leaking and like actual damage occurring. But also like all of those companies that are trying to like hire union workers are now just like losing fucking money or are not able to complete like homes to sell or they're not able to rent out shit. Like it's just such a fucking imbalance where, you know, the amount of revenue that League is getting or that Riot is getting from the LCS is like such a small slice of their total revenue that there's not a lot of bargaining power.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like everything's just so mismanaged, man. Salaries, like, the reality is there probably doesn't need to be a union just so there can be, like, a level of collective bargaining, because there's no way the players are going to lower their salaries to a reasonable amount. But, like, if there was a union and there's collective bargaining between the orgs and Riot, they could implement a salary cap, obviously. I mean, fucking, like, one thing that people don't know, I feel like, is that Riot gives out, like, yearly stipends to the LCS teams. This year was apparently the biggest one. It was $2.25 million per team, LCS teams. And it's like, there's a world in which you should be able to run your LCS team on $2.25 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's definitely some, like, some issues alongside the fact that like a lot of players can do well like not playing professionally and just streaming, and again like there comes in questions then of like revenue sharing or like individual sponsorships for them, especially if they do have a larger player base, right? Like take Double Lift for example, right? It's like how much money can he make on a team versus just streaming? And it, like obviously a lot of them would rather have the prestige and like the competitive aspect of playing professionally, but not every player could make more. And I think that there's, you know, a weird level to it where, you know, without the funding there and without the profitability like at each org, like yeah, you that just needs to be a decision you're making. Like yeah, you're gonna take a pay cut if you don't want to be a full-time streamer and you want to be just a full-time player.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of competitive players would be okay with that, but you know, the industry got built up by just floods and floods and floods of money coming in, you know, prior to the current recession, where, you know, debt was free, all of these fucking tech, you know, companies and all these startups could just get all of these investments and all these loans. Like the world where all of this these systems were developed was a very different one, and now, you know, these organizations have to become businesses that are a little leaner and a little bit more efficient, and that's probably going to have to, at least in some proportion, affect player salaries.
Yeah, the reality is like everyone's kind of at fault. Riot's at fault because they probably don't share enough of like the actual like league revenue, like League of Legends revenue, with the teams to like make it a little bit better. Teams fucking created this massive salary issue, like, and then obviously players are not obviously willing to sacrifice their own salary and well-being. I mean, dude, it's fucking crazy. Like teams will come out and like say that they want to like create a sustainable ecosystem and whatever, and then fucking last week the report came out that last year Team Liquid offered Faker over $5 million a year. Like, man, you can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like, dude, I was reading Reddit comments and people were like, oh, like that would have been a good deal because like you just like sell like sponsorships with Faker because he's like the most recognizable. Dude, you're not making $5 million in sponsorships from fuck, dude. Ah, like, oh, dude, it's just so fucked. Also, like, I also think we're in this weird spot where, okay, I don't know about all sports, but at least my basic knowledge of football is that a lot of football team owners are just billionaires who it's a thing they'd have and do, right? Like a lot of them, at least, right? Like they just pump as much money into it because like they don't give a fuck if they're making money from football. I think we're in this weird spot where with League of Legends, where there are a lot of teams that are trying to create a profitable business, and there's a lot of teams who are literally now owned by millionaires, billionaires, who are, this is their fun thing, right? Like the report came out of JDG, you know, the LPL team, the fucking super team with like Ruler, Knight, Kanavi, 369, like their team's fucked. Do you know what their yearly salary is apparently for that team?
I'll go, let's say, 25 mil.
You're really close, man. It's apparently 17 million. Like, isn't that fucked? Like obviously that's a team owned by a very rich person who's not trying to make a profit off of League of Legends, but like it's like, how do you compete when there's different playing fields, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a huge difference. Yeah, like you're saying, between like the org that is trying to be a profitable business versus the, oh, I'm a multi-billionaire dumping 20 million into this thing every year is not that significant for me.
Yeah. Cool. Next week, I do want to talk about the TSM stuff, but we've kind of been on LCS for a while, and I feel like there's a lot of people who don't actually care that much about LCS. But we'll talk about the TSM stuff next week. Cool.
All right, so then I guess we want to head into round table.
Yeah, so last week's question was, what new build slash champ have you been playing since the item update? So I was going to answer it, but I literally played my first game today, and I've only played Tahm Kench. I guess I do have the new Tahm Kench tech, if you want to hear it, Colton. So I'm in a bit of an econ itemization guy, right? I like to build efficient items that cost cheap and hit breakpoints before my opponents. So, I want to start building Radiant Virtue into Redemption every game on Tahm Kench. Every single game.
Okay.
I feel like it's cracked. I like it. because I think Virtue's already is best mythic, and it also got reduced by like 500 gold this past patch, so it's 2700, and then Virtue is 2300. It's not Virtue, Redemption's 2300. So you hit your like full your spike, your two item spike or whatever at 5k gold, which is before anyone even gets fucking close to their two item spike. And then also Tom Kench can animation cancel like R into Q. I'm sure you've seen me do it. It's like a big burst of damage. But if I can animation cancel R into Q with my redemption proc for 10% of their health, that how does any top laner beat that, right? Because they're getting like unavoidable 700 damage from my RQ, maybe like a little bit less than that, plus 10% of the max health from redemption, plus I'm getting redemption healed for like however much, plus I'm getting the 12% bonus health plus ticks of HP regen from Virtue. Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't that sound fucking crazy?
That sounds very good. And then like even like the option to then go like Abyssal Mask from there, which is also super cheap right now. So yeah, I'm definitely with you in that camp. And again, I think that like I've brought it up several times, but like I think that that's part of why I was so successful on Misfortune, and like even a little bit this season still have been, is because if you go like first strike with magic footwear and you take like the bounty whatever rune, right, like I'm saving 1100 gold because I'm not upgrading my boots. So like the other 80 carry that bought Berserker's Greaves is purchasing them for 1100. My mythic costs less, my second item costs less, right? Like I get to like three items when they have two items if we're even, and if I'm ahead, I'll be at like four items.
That's such a fun part of a league like that no one does.
Yeah, right. And it's like I don't need the max DPS build, because if I'm at five items when you're at two, it doesn't matter that your build is better with six.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. I fucking did it last year with like when before, like, obviously Rageblade got reworked, but when I played Cog like last year, I would always go Rageblade. Was it Rageblade Renons? I think that's what it was. Either way, there were two super cheap AD carry items, and it's like Kog'Maw's a late game AD carry, but if you fight right on your spike, like your cheaper spike, just because he's late AD carry doesn't mean he's not stronger on two items versus 1.5. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So anyways, I actually got some responses from Twitter right here. Only one from Twitter this week. It's from Sir Fishy. He says, Katarina with Bork, Crack, and Ginsu's. Cat spikes really hard on every single one of these items, and Snowball's crazy. You kind of get it scaled faster with AP, but in my honest opinion, early game feels stronger. That makes more sense. Cool. And then from our Discord, we got a lot of responses. I'd recommend go checking them out. From actual Yordle, he says, I've been going back to my favorite AD carry, Varus, and playing around with his on-hit build a bit, but I think his AP build's actually gotten stronger with a few attack speed items to help him apply stacks more efficiently. And let's be honest, you've already done death cap. You're already done after death cap anyways, so may as well be more efficient. I watched a Lol Dobby video that he put out this week of a ton of people are playing top AP Varus in Korea Challenge right now. So watch out for that. It looks fucking miserable to play against.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then I'll grab one more. This one's from Zapaladin. He says, on Rammus, I go Thornmail into Evenshroud, then Abyssal Mask. With 80 carries getting some access to ability power, it finally feels good to build an MR item on Rammus, and holy shit, does it pay off. I watched a Belveth delete themselves, hitting me in a matter of seconds. Those Rammus games are so sick sometimes. I've been watching the Baus play Rammus. I'm not sure if you've seen his Rammus build. He goes first item Thornmail into Sork Shoes. So like he gets the bonus like magic pen from like the reflect damage. And dude, it shreds auto attackers. It's fucked.
Yeah, it is hilarious. I've definitely seen some top Rammus like earlier in this season. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just that better now, so...
I think we'll also talk about his, like, I'm not sure if you've seen his solo queue. He put out, like, a 30-minute solo queue video, like, solo queue guide video. We'll talk about that, I think, in the next couple weeks as well. It's really interesting with regards to, like, the bounty system and how it's abusable and stuff like that. It's really, really good. This week's roundtable question is, with the first of the two rank splits coming to an end this month, how do you enjoy Riot's attempt at trying the multi-season approach to ranked?
I don't know yet. Like, it doesn't seem really any different to me at this point, other than, like, I guess opening up the chance to like reset and do like our mid challenge, which I guess is nice. It seems overall like positive to me.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing I have to add to it is that I think it should honestly probably be three splits. Like two feels like it's like not quick enough to not feel like just it's two separate splits, I guess. You know what I mean? It feels like if it was three, then it would feel like actually three different seasons where you're actually getting resets. Maybe you can switch up what you're doing. You can have like a break. Because it's literally like we played for 5.5 months and then we're 6.5 months actually. And then we're going to get a 2-day break and the next season starts. That feels so strange to me.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm glad Riot's trying it at least. I think it's better than having a full year. I think the full year thing is like draining on a lot of people.
Definitely, yeah. And it does feel really bad if like at a few points during the year, like you were X rank and you just like you didn't happen to be there. Like at least for like very bouncy players like me and Trevor, for example, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh cool, I'm gonna end D4 again instead of like, you know, and it's not going to show the fact that I was like D2 for 80% of the season.
Yeah, that's how like it's so sad that there's like no chart, or like I guess like you can do it externally, but there's no way in the client to see like someone's like where they bounced and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like fucking Valorant has this cool system where you fill up this big like triangle with like wins, Colton, and they're colored to whatever rank you were when you got the win. So like,
oh, okay.
Gold, silver, plat, whatever the fuck they're colored. So it shows you like your progress up and down, kind of.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Anyways, if you want to tell us what you thought about the ranked system, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or you can come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Onwards to mail fight. I've only got one email this week from Ian, who says, "Hey LeagueCast crew, following the discussion last episode on Riot's plans to further combat toxicity in ranked, I'd like to propose an alternative solution with a special game mode. Game mode Teemo's Toxicity Pit. Setting, Howling Abyss. However, instead of being ice themed, it is themed as the Fiery Pits of Hell. Objective, standard ARAM objective. Additional details. Players are on a team of three to make the game go longer. All communication methods, chat, emotes, etc. are disabled. Player account names are hidden. All players are auto-locked in as Happy Elf Teemo. The opponents are AI, high difficulty, little devil Teemos. Players are assigned X games of Teemo's Toxicity Pit that they must win prior to returning to any other game mode. Number of games varies by degree of violation or recurring penalty. While players are assigned to Teemo's Toxicity Pit, the client automatically loads into queue, similar to the tutorial when you start a new account." I don't know what that means.
I think you can't queue up for different game modes when you first like make an account. I think you have to like play like whatever. I think that's the idea.
Yeah. While mostly troll, this would do a good job of isolating toxic players in a way that they cannot be toxic to other players while serving their time. Additionally, the requirement to win X games would mean that there's an actual effort required to free your account from the pit, rather than a time-based punishment which a player can just wait out. Teemo's inclusion is negotiable, however, I think the little devil's presence helps send a message. Thanks for all the great content, guys. Ian."
I do like the idea really of like this. It's a mode that they like constantly adjust though to make it like harder or like easier. And one patch they just make it too hard. It's just fucking impossible to win. So like you have all these fucking toxic players queuing up into this fucking miserable mode trying to win it.
Yeah, I mean, to make it fair, like there would have to be some level of like it looks at like your rank and your punishment to like adjust the difficulty of the AI. But I do think it would be hilarious if it's just like, "Well, you're a toxic iron player. Too bad, bud. You're
put
done.
You in the challenger fucking lobby, challenger bot.
Yeah, it puts you against the challenger toxic Teemo bot. You just can't ever get out."
Yeah, that's fucking funny, actually.
Or maybe they could just make it that like it's like 5 losses equates to a win or something.
You have to play so much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, fuck those people, man.
Do they still have the system where if you dodge a bunch, you have to, like, or if you're toxic, I don't know if it's one or the other, where you have to, like, just queue in this fake queue for 20 minutes before it puts you into real queue? Do You remember that system?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still in the game, dude. What a fucking awful... Dude, it's so miserable. You have to sit there for 20 minutes for it real kills you.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just like, hey, you fucked up, go sit in a corner.
Yeah, and that is something that I am definitely, like, a fan of in general. Where, like... I think I was talking to Chris a lot about this for, like, traffic violations. It's like, I don't want it to be a fine. I want all of the people who are, like, bad asshole drivers to just be inconvenienced. Like, you have to take fucking 3 hours out of your Saturday to go to a class. Because there's so many people who are just like, I don't care. I'll deal with it. I'll get, like, a fucking $200 ticket. It's fine. I'm going to keep doing it. But if, like, some asshole person who's, like, very wealthy and that money means nothing to them has to, like, not go to their fucking golf game because they have to go to traffic class, they maybe would not, you know, continue doing that behavior.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. But hey, thanks for the email, Ian. Do we want to do our patrons then plugs or plugs then patrons?
We could do patrons then plugs. Also, Colton, I guess this is for, like, in general. Hey, before it gets nerfed, probably next week, play Rel Jungle. Because you know how most characters, Colton, in the game have, like, when they have extra bonus monster damage, they cap it at, like, a certain amount. Like, Jinx is capped at, like, 1,200 for raw. So, Rel's E empowers her next, like, thing, and that has no cap on it right now. So, if you, like, EQ Baron, it does, like, 1,500 damage.
Oh, great job, Riot Games.
Support Rel, dude. Fucking sleeper Baron Stealer right now.
Yeah, or just, like, fucking sneaky two-man dragon with your jungler at, like, level 2.
It has, like, a long-ass cooldown, but, like, if you have, like, your smite plus your E combo is, like, 2,500 burst right now. Like,
that's insane. Riot, you have fucking 500,000 years of game development experience.
Like, they're definitely gonna cap it next week. Happen. Like, for sure, yeah, right? Like, yeah. There's, like, people are like, oh, Rel Jungle's, like, gonna be playable. It's just, no, they're just gonna remove it.
Well, I think Rel Jungle, like, is intended to be playable, but, like, that part of it needs to not exist.
Yeah, it's literally, they just forgot. There's no way they didn't just forget, right?
So, without further ado, the wall of patrons, starting with A. Aaron, Actual Yordle, Adrian, sadly not Joshua, Alex, Elise, Andrew, Angel Holic, Arcs Knight, Armis, Arsonist, Austin, Blabby Jags, Blooper, Boba Solo, Brady, Breedable Soraka, Brian, Brosif, Brybump, Camiro, Chaz, Cheese for Real, Chizix, Coastal Toast, Colton, Dabular, Danman96, David the Deadly Tiger Ghost Leal, Dikar, Decopa, Dikaris, Diggity Daxter, Dr. Libby, Don't Be Creative, Dr. Coconuts, Dr. Herfurfurfur, Dragoon, Drew, Dylan, Eva Unit, Finner, Foxloaf, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, Gun Bunny Knight 119, Gunner, H Fire, Hugamine, Herx 21, I Cosplay Gragas, Jake, Jamal, Jody, J Picante, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Joby, John, Josh Plank, Joshua, Calzafar, Katie, Chaos, Kevin, Kieran, Clon Amy, Koi the Monkey Boy, Conrad, Crambone, Landon, Leafide, League Saint, aka Matt, aka Jacques Lecoq Grande, Lacona, Lisp Sync, Little Peepee, Lucas, Madeline, Man Mannington, Marshall, Mary Makes No Sense, Matt, Max and Mox, Michael, Mishke, Milkman, Monty, Mr. Ginger, Muse Guy, My Balls, Your Gin, Mystic Rune, Nathan, Nikoj, Nicole, Noah, NYC Poem, Oklahoman 10, Oscar, Panda Bear 9, Papa Kush Ivern, Pards Bay, Pocky, Raphael Walter, Rattlesnake Jake, Reckless Viper 99, Red Lefty, Rugby Ninja 7, RJ, Ryan, Sejuani's Baby Daddy, Seth, Shark is Suffering, Skidplate 2222, Skydrill, Stew, Stewart, Sunny, Swiggy, T Hubs, Thane, The Last Samurai, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, Discotlum, Ty, Wallace, Womper, Wolf, Wolfie, Wyatt, X Strong, X Walford, Yumi with a Gun, Zach, Zhaoman, and Womper. Aiden, I got a bone to pick with you.
What?
Why is Womper not with the other W's?
Womper. Wait, I'm so confused.
At the very end, it's everything's alphabetical, and it's just W, 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 X, 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 Z, 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 and an extra W at the end.
I bet I typed it, and like I didn't know where it went, and I went, oh, I must have not typed anywhere. But I typed it at the end. Well, Womper, you have to stay there for now.
Oh, yeah, there's just two of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Hey, thanks to all of you guys for your continued ongoing support of LeeCast. It means a lot to us. We really appreciate it. And
fuck, I'm supposed to talk about the fucking tournament I'm running. Fuck, that's all right. I'll talk about that. I might just add it to the beginning. Either I'm running a tournament. I'll talk about it at the beginning.
Okay.
I'll edit it. Cool. I'll run through our plugs really quick. If you want to send us an email, you can email us at mail@leecastpodcast.com. If you want to watch us on Twitch, you can watch us at twitch.tv/KingLardo, Blue Basket, and LeeCast Frost. If you want to tweet at us, you can tweet at LeeCast. Our Facebook is facebook.com/LeeCast. You can visit our website, leecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord, discord.gg/LeeCast. And then support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeeCast. Lots of fun stuff on there. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.